just radio.
See, for me, Jimmy Stewart is the kind of guy that I'd love to be. It's very difficult to be that, though, you know? I mean, he's just kind of up here somewhere. And I love him, man. He's a great example of somebody who's had an incredibly productive life. It seems like no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, Jimmy Stewart can look at it in a positive way.
Well, I guess we're going to have ourselves a nuclear holocaust. Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Empowering your business and marketing efforts with pinpoint accuracy.
I feel the need for speed.
Deploying targeted tactics.
I got tone. Fire it.
And leading edge business and marketing with purpose.
Up there, we got to push it.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Go again. It's 6:02 on the West Coast for your Thursday, this time the 14th day of May 2015. How are you? Pablo Picasso once said, "Everything you can imagine is real." Woody Allen once said, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Welcome to Strategist Radio Live, Thursday morning. Great to see you. Today we talk about marketing strategy because you asked for it. How your blog can become more profitable. Also, all ahead, we'll talk about why you should never rush your product to market and how to successfully build an exceptional online product. And we'll talk about whether or not your value proposition needs a checkup. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. Welcome to Thursday morning. It's so wonderful to see you again. Got my cup of Starbucks here. Usually I do my tall. I don't know what you drink, but my drink of choice is really just the tall coffee. And then I have them steam heavy cream, about an inch worth at the top there. I haven't stirred in. About 190 degrees steamed, and then I do 5 raw sugars in there. So by the time I get together with you in the morning, I'm pretty high. So no, but you know what? Hey, one of the things though that I like to do sometimes in the morning, just to kind of get a little extra push, because like I don't have enough energy, you know. So sometimes all I'll do is I'll go down to the bakery that we have here at the Reed Opera House downstairs, and Larry's in there, and he's making these fresh hot. Oh, chocolatey roll things. And I'll go down there and I'll just slam down some chocolate syrup.
Yeah!
You ever do that? Yeah! And then shoot it with some coffee. So by the time I am finished with the program at 6:30 every morning, I'm pretty much, I'm done.
Yeah!
It's not true. Welcome to our Inner Circle members today on the program, as we do every day, 13 years at this program, broadcasting nationally and internationally, transcending domestic borders, thanks to our friends over at Blog Talk Radio, on Levy and the crew there, as well as our friends over at Live 365 for making this program happen in the way of a multicast, so we can go terrestrial and we can go digital, and it's great to serve you each and every day. If you're not a member of the Inner Circle yet, it's absolutely free to become part of the fam. All you got to do is head over to the Hub at tjmoreno.com. It's all there for you, all the materials, even the podcast of the program, because every day as we produce the show live Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30, we turn it into a podcast shortly after the live airing, and then we make it available on the Hub. Again, check it out. It's all there for you, tjmoreno.com. So before we talk about marketing strategy and how your blog can become more profitable, and also talking about products, developing the exceptional product, and making sure that we're not rushing our product out to market, the big question here, I think, this morning as we get going is sent to us from a good friend over at An Entrepreneur. And really, one of the things that we need to make sure that we're completely retooling, certainly checking on, is our value proposition. Is your value proposition a little bit stale? Well, what is a value proposition? Well, first of all, it's defined in a variety of platforms as a business or marketing statement that summarizes why a consumer should buy a product or use a service. Now, the statement should convince a potential consumer that one particular product or service will add more value or better solve a problem than other similar offerings. And again, I want to thank John McAdam this morning, contributor over to Entrepreneur, for providing us this retooling process for your value proposition. The value proposition is a statement of what your business does. It's better than your competitors. Even part of your differentiation strategy. So how do you know if your value proposition needs a checkup? Well, here's a test. According to John, have you ever met someone for a second time at a networking meeting and they didn't remember you or what you do? How'd that make you feel? So if you're in sales, and certainly if you've got a product or service, you're an entrepreneur, you're in sales, whether you like it or not. This situation is disastrous. If you can remember them and what they do, why can't they remember you and what you do? Now, at a minimum, most of us would feel confusion. Others would feel frustration or perhaps even anger. So to be fair, people forget names. They forget places and businesses all the time. So it shouldn't come as a shock that someone might forget about you. However, if this is happening, if it's a trend that's happening over and over again, multiple times, people are forgetting you and your business, then it may be time to retool your value proposition. Now, other than people forgetting what you do, there are other signs to watch out for relative to your value proposition and whether or not it needs revising. And here are some questions that you can ask either yourself or others. Now, an affirmative answer to each of these questions, as John provides us this morning, means that your value proposition is in tip-top shape. A negative response indicates that it's probably high time to redefine your value proposition. So here's the first question. Could a typical business person repeat your value proposition accurately? Yes or no? Affirmative or negative? Would that business person remember your typical customer? Affirmative or negative? Is the repeated value proposition brief and clear? Affirmative or negative? Does what they say evoke emotion? Up or down? Yes or no? Do people ask you a follow-up question about you or your business? Affirmative, negative. And finally, do people find what you do valuable relative to similar offerings? Now, if you're unsure how to go about this, then here's a quick test for you. Ask somebody you know, a friend, family member, trusted business associate, to repeat your value proposition. Repeat it back to you. If you're feeling brave, then ask your friend to tell you what you do without reminding them first. Otherwise, tell a person your value proposition and have them repeat it back to you. Now, the idea here is simple. If people remember what you do and can repeat it back to you accurately, then you're memorable. If you're memorable, they might tell other people about you. And if they tell other people about you, it's going to be more accurate, which can generate accurate word-of-mouth referrals for your particular business. Now, if you got a negative response to any of the questions, you have some refining to do. So try this value proposition exercise provided by John here called the What Do You Do exercise. So you answer the question about what you do by filling in the blanks in these two following sentences. First sentence is, we work with people who need blank. This benefits them by blank. A value proposition is basically a statement of what you do that's more valuable than other offerings. Now, the best way to tell if you need a checkup is to objectively observe how others respond to your value proposition delivery. If someone can repeat it accurately, repeat what you do right on point, recognize your customer, and understand what makes your offer comparatively more valuable, then you are on point. If not, don't worry about it. Most of us need to refine our value proposition statements from time to time. Remember, in business, as entrepreneurs, we are nimble and dynamic. We know the one thing that is constant is change, so be prepared to make a few changes as you move all ahead. Well, I want to thank again our friends over at Entrepreneur, particularly John, for sending that our way. John McAdam, he's a contributor at Entrepreneur. We appreciate you a lot. If you've got something you want to share on Strategist Radio, let us know. Send us an email. Send it to support@tjmarino.com. All right. I'd love to share your mind, your success stories, your victories, your boo-boos. It'll help others. All right. Marketing strategy, how your blog can become more profitable. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, why you never want to rush your product to market. Ian Siegel, he's the founder and CEO at ZipRecruiter, explains why this would be a very bad idea.
It seems like a lot of companies are very excited to get their product, whether it be the first launch of their product or an enhancement to their product, out the door, and they work very hard to make that happen as fast as they possibly can. In a way, it's almost as though they death march to the launch of their product, and then they celebrate once the product has gone live. I would encourage you, as an entrepreneur, to think about it the other way, which is take your time. Make sure you get the first version of your new product right so that every customer who interacts with it has a good experience. But be prepared to work overtime as soon as that product launches. As soon as you start to get real feedback from your current customers or you're bringing on new customers and you're seeing how they're interacting with the product that you just launched, that's the time to put the pedal to the metal and as fast as possible eliminate bugs or unravel unintended design consequences that are impairing their satisfaction with your product. By addressing problems immediately with candor and with a personal tone, you're going to find that you take those first early adopters and turn them into evangelists, and that is a great way to get new customers to your website.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio Live, 6:13 Thursday morning. Good to have you on board. Thanks for being my friend. Appreciate it a lot. Hey, I love your feedback. Social media, love the sharing and the favoriting and the plus ones. If we're not already connected yet on social media, let's do that. Let's get together on, for instance, LinkedIn. Let's connect there. It's tjmarino.com/LinkedIn. On Twitter, tjmarino.com/Twitter. On Google Plus, tjmarino.com/g and the plus sign. Let's get connected. All right. Here's what's coming up for tomorrow's program as we round out our week for Friday. Tomorrow we talk about book marketing strategy and how to proactively pitch your book. That's tomorrow on Strategist Radio Live. Okay, now we've talked about not rushing the product to market. How about successfully building an exceptional online product? Jason Azar, CEO and founder at DocStock, gives his insights about how to successfully build an exceptionally online product. That's amazing.
There are five basic elements of building an online product. The first is your PRD, your requirements document, which spells out in really specific detail exactly what's going to happen in your online product and all the interactions and every bit of functionality. The second are your wireframes, and those are a non-graphical visual representation of your web pages. Basically, think of it like a blueprint of your house. The third are your designs. Once you've completed your wireframes, you're going to put those designs into a visual representation. You're going to put color on the pages. You're going to have all the graphics on there, and it's going to show you exactly what a web page is going to look like. The fourth building block is the development. You're going to take these final designs, and with the requirements document, a developer or developers are going to code these pages so that they work together. And the fifth basic building block is hosting. You're going to put all this code that you developed on a set of servers that are then going to be able to let anyone in the world access your online product. There are specialists to help you with each of these building blocks. Typically, a product manager is someone that's going to specialize in creating PRDs and then great wireframes that really bring your vision for your web product to life. A visual designer, someone who specializes in user interaction or user interface, will take those wireframes and they'll bring them to life in such a way that you can actually see a visual representation of what your online web product is going to look like. Developers, in one of many different languages, are going to program your website, both the front end and the back end database, such that it all connects together and works fully functionally. And then you're going to have to find somewhere that you host this code that developers put together. And that's either going to be a fully managed service provider, co-location, or sometimes you can use cloud-based services that will host it for you. I think that one of the keys to building your online product is to do, at first, as much of it as possible yourself. So even if you're a non-technical person, you can write your first set of requirements. You can create your first wireframe. You can even sit side by side with a designer and give him or her some input on how you want your website specifically to look. And being as engaged in as much of the process early on as possible and doing it yourself is going to help you create a connection and understanding to your online web product that's going to be really key to bring it to life in the very best way.
Strategist Radio Live. How you doing this morning? About 6:18 right now for our Thursday. Bob Marley once said, "Who are you to judge the life I live? I know I'm not perfect. I don't live to be. But before you start pointing fingers, make sure your hands are clean." George Bernard Shaw once said, "Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself." Say good morning to some of our Inner Circle members who've just been amazing and continue to be amazing. Good morning to Lisa. Hello to Tracy, Frankie, Pam, Tiffany. Good morning to Charlotte and Grady. Good morning to Rita and Patty and Mary and Harry and Bonnie. Good morning to Lynn, Marsha, Michael, Chuck, Doug, Den, Dartha. Good morning to Tina, Nicole, Kilara. Hello to Mary, Virginia. Good morning to you. Diane, Alina, Denise, good morning to Stephanie, good morning to John, Tom, Elizabeth, Tim, Catherine, Kathy, Kathleen, good morning to Kristen, Sabrina, Dina, Leanne, Julie, good morning to Karen, Pam, Frankie, also good morning to our friends over at Rackspace, Joseph and the crew there, also good morning to Yvette, hello to you, Bill, morning to Sean and Dr. Caroline Savage and Sylvie and Becky, too. Good morning to BMW USA, our friends there. Also, Bezos and the Bunch at Amazon, Random House, the Avon Company, Mars Wrigley in Chicago, and our hardworking friends at Kirkland, Washington, at Costco. Good morning.
Yeah! All right.
So this is the moment you've been waiting for. We're going to talk about marketing strategy, how your blog can become more profitable. Now, as an entrepreneur, what do you think? Are blogs old news or are blogs alive and well? Did you know that of the millions of blogs that exist to date, most have not generated even a single cent? How about your blog, if you have one? How much capital have you been able to squeeze out of your blogging efforts? Even if you have been able to derive revenue from blogging, there is still far more profit to be had. So then how might you move your blogging strategy from red, the upside down, piping you air, into black, into profitability? Let's talk about that a little bit here this morning as we round out this edition of Strategist Radio Live. Content has many functions. It enhances the value of your site. It builds customer loyalty. It attracts new customers through ongoing syndication. And it improves your rankings in search engines. There's the power of the blog. But the bottom line for your particular content strategy is being able to increase visitors, increase ultimately customers, turning consumers to customers. And then ultimately that's generating the revenue, especially if you're in a situation where you're new to the art. There are a variety of strategies that you should consider and should certainly implement within your blogging strategy so that your blog can, in fact, become profitable. And these are things that you'd be surprised. They may sound silly, but there's a variety of things here that you're going to go, well, duh. These are not being done effectively. And if you're not doing these things effectively, then that's probably why you're lacking any type of revenue generation from your blog. All right? A couple things before I even begin. If you've got the eyeballs on your blog, in other words, if you're out there tweeting and Facebooking your blog posts, sharing it with your target audience through Google+, through Twitter, etc., more traffic comes to your web property. That gives you an opportunity to sell advertising because the more numbers, the more eyeballs, the more wallets, the more purses are coming to your website. That gives you the ability with those numbers to be able to go out and sell advertising. And if nothing else, you could certainly align with Google AdSense and put Google ads within your web property. There's pros and cons to that, but that's not something we're going to talk about in today's program. Those are basic ways to monetize, but you've got to have the numbers. You've got to build the traffic. That's key. So the first thing you need to do is you need to learn to speak directly to your target audience. If you're hoping to convert a reader, you have to speak to them in their language. That means that you have to understand the target audience's demographic, their age, their preferences, their psychographic, their level of income. There we go back to demographic again. What is their religion? Demographic again. Geographic, what area? What is their culture? What are their behavioral attributes? How do they speak? What's important to them? And that's how you speak directly to your target audience. That means writing in a way that makes your brand feel familiar, approachable, credible, trustworthy. Now, one of the biggest pitfalls here is failing to understand who or what your target audience is all about. Believe it or not, many businesses or people are writing for everybody under the sun is what's going on. And what's happening is you're not even parsing yourself out. You're just doing spray and pray, and you're just basically trying to speak to everybody, all people, all the time. The reality is, in order to help you monetize your blog, you've got to be narrow in your approach. You've got to funnel it down to your target audience. Be specific about who you're speaking to and write for them. Remember, keeping in mind achieving their goals, solving their problems, or satisfying their needs. You've got to understand your audience. so that you could communicate more effectively. You know, it's like if you speak Italian, don't speak English, and then you're having a dialogue with somebody from, say, I don't know, France, and you don't speak French, there's going to be a disconnect. The conversation comes to a close because no one knows what they're talking about. So you learn Italian, learn English, learn French, and speak in that language. Your blog should not sell. Okay, there's a direct vertical selling approach, which is, hi, want to buy my blah, blah, blah? Or there's the indirect, by razzle-dazzling them with your knowledge, by providing information, news, insight, infotainment, comedy, whatever it is that your target audience wants. So you want to encourage conversations, but not sell. Not making a pitch. With conversation optimization, you're creating a set of environmental circumstances that naturally encourage more people to make that buying decision. But you got to use your content not to pitch your product, but to share an idea, to share an insight, something that your audience is achieving a goal, solving a problem, or satisfying a need. Blog also is bolstering yourself as the authority, and you need to make sure you're doing that as well. It doesn't just happen automatically. People are more likely to buy from sources they trust. And brand trust is becoming increasingly difficult to build because there's so much noise out there. Now, one of the best ways to increase the trust your customers have in your brand is to use your content as a means of increasing your authority. You know, you'll notice I'll say something like, you know, use citations, scholarly citations in my blog posts. People know that I have an MBA. People know that I've been in business for 30 years. People know, you see what I mean? But even with all of those attributes, I still have to produce the content. When people see you as the authority in the industry, they're going to feel more comfortable about making those purchases from you. Remember that. You have to carefully select topics that specifically fit your target niche. And you need to explore and do your research in great detail, showcasing through your understanding of that subject matter. It also helps to introduce new ideas. And that's how you can establish yourself as a thought leader in the minds of your readers. You can borrow from others' authority. Unfortunately, asserting your own expertise can only get you so far. And that's why you want to align. Look for articles. Look for things that you can quote from somebody that's more of an influencer. Then you need to think about things like the emotional element. People are more likely to convert when there is an emotional tie, an emotional undertone to your content. Anger, humor, something that makes them think. The type and level of emotion you choose will depend on your brand and the subject matter you're exploring, but using sympathy, that's sometimes effective. Using excitement to drive a quick conversation. Using fear is another common tactic, implying that readers might be vulnerable without a product like yours, but be careful. Not too much, don't be too tacky, and don't be aggressive. You have to use the right words. You've got to get rid of distractions in your blog. You've got to make sure that you have multimedia in your blog posting. A little bit of audio, a little bit of video, that holds them longer, that reduces your bounce rate, right? These are some things. But remember, keep it simple. Focus on your target audience. Get the traffic levels built, and then that will start. Get this pinged out to your social media and keep building your viral marketing mix. Tomorrow on the program, here's where we go for Friday, book marketing strategy, how to proactively pitch your book. God bless you. You're amazing. I love you. Thanks for being my friend. Please go out and look for an opportunity to love somebody today. All right? Make it a great rest of your Thursday. We'll see you on the flip side. Kelly, please do close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio. This has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support at tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.